Y'all ready to get wet? The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up.
It's Pure Boys.
Yeah, I got two throats.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up.
It's Pure Boys.
Say what?
Ciao, Fudgepackers. Welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. I'm Adam and Urine.
And I am most definitely ready to get wet. I'm also Urine and I'm Steve. I am so glad to be with you all today and to praise the Lord, of course, and to watch male stripping movies.
Yes, may I take my clothes off, enters week three. Oi, 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 oi. This week, we have a real creamy surprise. We're watching 2015's Chocolate City. Ooh, my teeth are sore already.
Well, we have ingested a lot of salt, a lot of tomat, a lot of cheese, and my mouth is puckered right now. I need water so badly.
That's why I brought a water. I got water right here.
We had such a delightful evening. I wish we could have brought our evening to you, the listener, the same way we're going to bring this movie to you.
Oh, agreed. Steven invited me over for a delicious pepperoni salami dinner with him and his wife. And he made a beautiful spaghetti and one meatball. And I brought a big loaf of cheesy garlic bread, pull-apart garlic bread. And we feasted like friggin' kings. And now we're full of carbs and very tired after a long day of work. And time to podcast.
Yeah, time to podcast. Got to put in the work after you put in the pleasure. How is your stomach feeling?
Great. I ate a lot of that loaf, actually. I ate a lot of bread because it's the thing with the pull-apart garlic cheesy loaf is that you have to start on the outside, and that's the worst part. And then by the time you get to the good stuff, which is the middle of the loaf, you've eaten half a loaf of bread already, and you're like, I don't want to eat more. And then there, that's where all the garlic butter and the cheese is. And you're just like, ay, caramba. But you soldier through because you spent the money on a bag of mozzarella cheese. And damn it, you're going to eat that whole loaf.
And it was beautiful. I let that mozzarella cheese and garlic slide down my throat and chased it with the bread. I mean, we just had a feast for the eyes and the throat.
Agreed. I believe that's how your wife described you when you first met.
It is. She said it a little too much, and then we didn't speak for 6 months, and then we fricked like bunnies.
She kept saying, you're a feast for my throat, and you were like,
first date, lady.
Yeah, but you were standing there with your genitals out telling her you loved her, so I mean, what's the difference?
There isn't. Same, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. And once we had wine dined, we had some wine out of coffee cups. It was very classy. Just don't get it twisted. It was delicious red wine, not sacramental wine. And once we had that, we wine dined in 69, some delicious pepperoni salami food. And then we sat back on the couch, three of us all together, and we put on, and you rented, 2015's Chocolate City. And after a feast for the stomach, then we got to enjoy a feast for the eyes.
Very much so. And I feel like it's helped me digest. The male stripping in this movie has helped me digest the food because my stomach feels absolutely fine. Usually after a big pasta meal like we had, I'm feeling groggy. I'm feeling down. I'm feeling beat up. But my stomach is feeling great right now. My eyes and my head, on the other hand, are feeling groggy.
And
just because of all the work we put in today.
Well, by head, you mean the head of your cock, right?
A line from this movie, this very movie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, a line from my life. Before we get into how our throbbing cocks are doing, we need to, of course, do the Pure Boys prayer.
God bless our podcast. God bless all podcasts.
We love you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Or a woman.
Or women. Or, you know, hey, whatever rainbow.
All stars and stripes, you know? Whatever.
All stars and stripes. I think that was good prayer. I think we nailed it.
I think we did too. I feel like Chocolate City just really, like, you know, just cemented us as brothers with benefits for life.
I have to say that I definitely created some cement, and I have Chocolate City to thank for that.
Are we going to make a cement mug next?
Yeah, definitely, and have maybe a bunch of Chocolate City people on it. I don't know what to do with it.
As long as we have Bolo on it, that's all I care about, because Bolo had the fattest cock of them all.
This definitely don't censor any of that, because
nope.
A, it's all true,
yep.
And it's mucho bene.
This is going to be a Randy episode, because this is a Randy movie, baby.
Finally. I feel like Magic Mike, we were into the film, and now we're into the Randy of it all.
Yeah, this movie is, well, let's not get too deep into this movie, because we still have to do some favorite segments of everybody. So why don't we start with a very important question, and we ask this every week, and every week it gets more and more important. So Steve, I ask you, from the bottom of my heart, whomst was the Beggar Vance of Magic Mike XXL?
Thank you for asking. I have to go with... It's so hard to choose because there's so many characters thrown at you, but I would have to say the Beggar Vance of this film was the road. The open road of Anytime USA. Because it brings them together. It forces them upon a path to the convention, and along the way, they meet characters that they love and hate and strip for. Now, Adam, whoops did you think was the Beggar Vance of Magic Mike XXL?
Well, Steve, thank you so much for asking. First of all, a very important question, and just like one for the ages, and this is going to go down the record books. For me, the Beggar Vance of Magic Mike XXL, I was going to say the Magic Mike of Beggar Vance XXL, was, of course, Fluffy, I guess? No, maybe it was Amber Heard. Amber Heard, everyone's favorite person
we
in the world.
We love you.
We love you, Amber Heard. We stan Amber Heard. We're behind her 100%. Johnny Depp is wrong. We're Amber Heard. This is an Amber Heard podcast.
100%. I couldn't throw my name behind anyone else in this entire world other than Amber Heard herself.
Maybe Jada Pinkett Smith. We love you too, Jada Pinkett. Will Smith is wrong. He was wrong to slap Chris Rock. That was embarrassing for you. He shouldn't have stood up for you like that. You're a strong, independent woman. You can stand up for yourself.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Best episode ever so far.
So far, the best Beggar Vance segment, I would say.
Yeah. Whom's the Beggar Vance? Yours the Banger Vance.
Whom's the Beggar Vance? Yours the Banger Vance. You ready for
everyone's... Yeah, I said it.
All right, you said it. You ready for everyone's favorite segment, though?
Yes.
The Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week.
That's funny to me. Okay, let's stop dicking around. Here's the tweet of the week.
Yeah.
You got 4 shots in a year. Never stopped wearing your mask. Followed the guidelines to a T and still got sick. But it's my fault? Makes sense.
I mean, yeah, man. That's what happens when people just, like, don't follow the rules and are selfish and, you know, perpetuate this virus that could have gone away if we all just got the shots and wore our masks and just followed the rules. Instead, a bunch of independent free thinkers decided that it was time to, you know, say F the government and F everybody else. And now we got this fucking virus that we're in the almost third year of. Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, it is your fault. You fucking dickhead fuckface. Fuck you, Kevin Sorbo. Great segment. Great segment. On to Chocolate City.
That came out at 11:25 a.m. on May 7th.
Good. Good. I hope you shit blood that day.
This is how I felt last episode for a tweet that we did not read or that you were supposed to cut out. Maybe you left it in.
No, I cut it out. Don't worry.
Okay, good. Yeah, we kind of hate you, Kevin. Yeah. But we love you. Keep doing your thing.
Yeah, you're great. You're a beautiful person. We love what you stand for. We love your tweets. Keep up the good fight and just keep doing your thing, my man. You're a diamond in the rough and a one in a million, and you're one in a million. You know, that's a song.
The people who did not get the vaccine are great.
Yeah. Yeah, we stand them too. We stand Amber Heard and Jada Pinkett Smith and all those folks who decided not to get the vaccine. That's who we stand. We love you.
Get the vaccine, though.
Yeah, and like, you know, cut your boyfriend's fingers off. Or whatever, man. Let's fucking get it on right now.
Let's fucking get it on right now.
I'm not censoring this episode at all. We're letting
it
buck.
Can we just say this one's explicit? Like a banana with a condom on it?
Maybe. I don't know. I think you have to make the whole show explicit. I don't think you just make one episode explicit, but maybe. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see how she shakes out.
Well, freaking come at us, YouTube, or Audio Boom, or
exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah. Y'all ready to get wet? That's this movie's Let's Freaking Get It On Right Now.
It's not the first line of this movie, but it's definitely the first line that we all heard watching this movie.
Yeah, we were 45 seconds into the movie. Michael Jai White, a.k.a. Spawn, is talking. He is the Matthew McConaughey of this movie. And, you know, we weren't really paying that much attention. We were just kind of excited. There was electricity in the air. And then we all locked in at the same time and heard, y'all ready to get wet? And we knew we were in for a great time.
Which did evoke to me the beginning of the first Magic Mike.
Yeah.
Because I heard Matthew McConaughey mumble, 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 and then go, hey, wetness, or whatever he says.
Yeah, that's how he introduces himself to ladies. Hey, wetness. And they go, gush.
Oh, speaking of gush, the fart my wife let out as soon as you left was unbelievable. Like, I'm talking about unbelievable. It was all octaves of the scale.
If we can't reveal this, we can cut it out, but your wife is lactose intolerant. Is that okay for me to say?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I don't keep your wife's name out of my mouth.
I will.
My wife's name out of your mouth.
I will keep your wife's name out of my mouth. I did.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
How dare you say that? She's like,
I will keep your wife's lactose tolerance or intolerance out of my mouth.
Well, I think she definitely cleared the farting. I asked her if we could talk about that.
Okay.
So I think she's okay with lactose intolerance.
Well, good. Well, she better be, because it led directly to the fart due to the pasta that we ate with the Parmigiano-Reggiano, you cocksucker, and we put that on there, and also the garlic butter cheesy bread. That, of course, Lots of dairy in that. But you had gone to the washroom to wash your penis or something, I don't know, wash your chunnel. And she said to me, I have to fart so bad. And I was like, you can fart, it's okay. And she was like, I don't know. And then clearly she held it and waited and then ripped ass as soon as I walked out your front door.
Yeah, she like pointed a finger at me as if to say, like, hold on, I got something very important to say. And then just ripped the dirtiest ass you've ever heard in your entire life.
Did she go, silence, please, everybody freeze, da-da-da-da-da-da, and then just ripped ass?
No, but that's good. Like, that could be a show.
You know what? That could be a show. We can put that on a shirt.
Yeah. Well, it's a shirt of a show.
Beautiful. It's a show about a shirt. That's what they said about Seinfeld, I think.
That's what they said about Chocolate City.
Hey, certainly was a show about a shirt, and men not wearing them, refusing to wear them.
Yeah, there's a lot of exposition about, like, them not wanting to wear shirts, and them not, like, them behaving the same as when they wear a shirt and when they don't wear a shirt. A lot of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a movie about lies and deception and shirts and water and dingers and just locker room talk and boys being men and having a good time.
This movie was a lot about calling out Magic Mike and calling it like super white and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like Magic Mike stole stripping from black men. You're like, but did they?
Yeah, I think they did.
But like D. Ray Davis says, like, we used to strip back in Africa. It's like, did we? You didn't, D. Ray Davis. I'll tell you that much. I can't speak for anybody else.
Well, Vivica Fox might have.
Oh, Vivica Fox playing the MILF of the week, the Kevin Sorbo MILF of the week. Kevin!
Should we get Kevin Sorbo to call out his favorite MILF of all time?
Oh, you would say Sam Sorbo, of course.
No, he's been dogging on Sam Sorbo.
Oh, has he? He's been tweeting a lot about her. At Sam Sorbo, well, yawn.
Just about how wives talk a lot, you know?
Yeah, a lot of hashtag women be shopping. Just, you know, Kev's just, he hates it. He hates his wife. He's a boomer.
Well, he probably wouldn't be able to watch Chocolate City with her.
We might have to drop the Kevin Sorbo tweet of the week. You and I are both, you were mad at him last week. I'm mad at him this week. I don't know what we're going to do. We can't pivot to someone else because there's no one as good as Kevin Sorbo. It's not going to be the Dean Cain tweet of the week or something like that. That's not going to work. Nobody tweets as much as
Dean Cain's cool, but he ain't no Kevin Sorbo.
I guess. He mostly just retweets. He doesn't even, like, tweet much himself. The Dean Cain retweet of the week? I don't want to do that.
It has a ring to it, but it's just not. In its conception, it's great, but I don't think it'd be great in practice.
Yeah, in execution, I think it would fall flat. That wouldn't. That's not a terrible idea for a segment, though.
It has a ring to it.
The Dean Cain retweet of the week. Listeners, write in at pureboyspod@gmail.com or tweet at us or retweet a Dean Cain retweet at us at pureboyspodcast on Twitter and let us know if you want us to change the Kevin Sorbo tweet of the week to the Dean Cain retweet of the week. And we'll consider it, I guess.
Yeah, we'll consider it. I feel like at the end of the day, it won't matter whatsoever for our viewership.
No.
It won't change a lick.
No.
However, whenever I tell somebody about this podcast of ours, they 90% of the time, they always go, hey, did you know Kevin Sorbo's, like, Christian and, like, right wing? Like, yeah, we have a whole segment about it. So it's in the oeuvre. It's out there. People know about him.
Yeah, you could say we're experts on it, unfortunately. We're more masters of the Kevin Sorbo right wing Christian lunacy.
He's great. We love him.
We love
him. Doing your thing, Kevin.
He's the best. Never change. You're the best. You're number one. Golden boy. Shining star. Piece of fucking
shining
shit.
Lights.
Yeah, shining lights. Yeah, sure. Let me wash your feet, please, Kevin, as a sign of respect. Come to my house, let me wash your feet.
Man, we're into this podcast.
Man, did I tell you that, like, when I was in church, when I was a church-going boy, we, like, had to wash each other's feet one time in church? Did I ever tell you about that? Or was I telling my wife that?
Okay, so how many feet did you have to wash? Because I'm assuming one pair.
Yes, it was two foots, I guess you would say, aka a pair of feet, and maybe more. I don't remember the volume of them, but I certainly remember, like, going up to the front, and then there people being shoeless and sockless, and then us putting a bowl of water under their foot and pouring water over their foot, and me being like, I don't want to do this, right? Why are we doing this? This doesn't seem good for anyone.
Were these, like, homeless people that, like, were forced to get their feet cleaned?
No, they were, like, they were, like, churchgoers. I want to say they were old. I want to say we were washing, like, older people's feet.
Did you ship them in from out of town?
Yeah. Yeah, we brought in a bunch of ringers, all the best feet from all over the parish, all over the diocese. Come on in, we'll wash your feet. Make these preteens wash your feet.
Because you don't want to wash somebody's feet and then have to see them at church every Sunday. You ship those guys in.
What if you do a bad job? Then they're going to be looking at you being like, my feet are awful now. You've ruined my pedicure.
So did you not get your feet cleaned?
I probably did. I feel like it was like a confirmation thing or something like that. Or like Beatitudes. Aww. I don't know. Some crap. I don't know. Some thing where it was like, you wash my feet, I'll wash yours. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's how they brought it up.
Yeah, we were doing a feet washing 69, you could say.
Yeah, the priest made it weirdly sexual when he didn't need to at all. Like, he loves feet. I think your priest might have liked feet.
I mean, much like Chocolate City, he picked me up in a standing 69 and washed my feet. And then I had to wash his while I was upside down. It was dizzying.
There was a bit of humping in women's faces and contorting women, but not as much as Magic Mike.
What are you... This movie was 90% humping women's faces.
No way. This was pure stripping. It was like 25% humping faces and like 75% pure stripping.
That's crazy.
Did we watch the same movie?
Did we watch the same movie? I don't remember anyone stripping at all. I remember a lot of like shirtless men.
Are you kidding me?
I remember a lot of shirtless men doing belly rolls and wagging their dingers about in their pants and humping, grabbing women's hair like aggressively and pushing their face against their crotch and pouring water on themselves. But I don't remember anyone taking clothes off.
Well, nobody takes clothes off.
So then what's stripping to you? What's stripping to you then? Tell me what stripping is to you.
Stripping to me is more of a feeling. It's more of like where you are in your life.
Yeah.
Oops, you're going to pay your bills to.
Right. Stripping is a state of mind. It's not an act.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And then, in that case, then, this movie was full of stripping.
You're right, though. Like, there is not, like, the act of taking clothes off doesn't happen too much in this movie. And most of these guys are still wearing shorts or pants.
Yeah, most of these guys are still wearing belts.
Yeah. Well, belts are very sexy.
Oh. Especially when they're not done up. Oh, Genuine, get over here.
What I really appreciated about the male form in this movie
is
butt cleavage.
So that is like, that's every Chocolate City dancer's Chocolate City dancers' go-to move is pull their little gotchies down just like 2 inches, maybe half an inch over their butt and show off that cleavage.
And they seem to have saved it, because I swear for like the first 2/3 of this movie there was maybe one butt cleavage, but in the last third, like, there's like 15 butt cleavages. And I'm very moist for it. Bring back the butt cleavage for men. For men.
For men, of course, yeah. It's interesting that, like, in Magic Mike, their big thing was, like, ripping off the butt cheeks of their pants and showing their, like, bare butt, but wearing, like, a thong or something like that. And in this movie, it was like, we're not going to show you the bottom of our butt cheeks. We're going to show you the cleave at the top and the little humps on the top of the butt cheeks. The top of the gluteus maximus, if you will.
My whole problem with all of these movies is, why can't we see man in his full form? Why is there clothing at all at the end of the stripping performance?
Probably because these are all actors, and they don't want to go a full Terrence Howard and show their micropenises on film. I mean, with that being said, Bolo, you can see his whole dinger through his pants, and it's like halfway down his leg. It was a month. You and me and your wife all pointed it out, and we're like, whoa, this guy's packing some serious heat.
Yeah, there's a point in our notes that's just blank for like 20 minutes because all three of us were just slack-jawed and pointing, and we couldn't even talk.
No, we were blown away. We were blown away by this guy's hog.
Bolo was everything you want to be, and women want to be him, and men want to suck him.
Choked on some water there. Ooh.
Yeah, that's what you were choking on.
Yeah, well, Bolo, was he your favorite in this movie? Was he your favorite hunk?
He was my favorite as far as essence is concerned.
Right, big old dinger.
My favorite was the main guy. I loved him.
Sexy
as far as his stripping was concerned.
You're talking about Sexy Chocolate?
Yeah, Sexy Chocolate. Was it weird that he called himself his brother called him Sexy Chocolate?
Yeah, let's not confuse things. His brother, D-Ray Davis, named him Sexy Chocolate and then proceeded to tell women, "That's my brother. That's my brother's body. I'm his manager. That's my brother." And they were like, "Okay, we don't care. We're not going to suck you. You're not him. You look like shit."
And the person saying, "Okay, I'm not going to suck you," is none other than Carmen Electra, DJ to the Chocolate City fandom.
Uh-huh. DJ Cleopatra in this movie, Carmen Electra. I saw that in the credits. She didn't ever say her name in the movie.
I'm for sure, I don't know what I'm trying to say there, but I'm pretty sure she did not do more than a half day on set.
Oh, definitely not. Yeah, absolutely. You know what I think my favorite Carmen Electra part in the movie is, though? Because she never leaves the DJ booth. She's always in the DJ booth. She scratches a couple records. She introduces male strippers. But there's one part where the crowd is screaming, and she points at a woman halfway across the room and goes, "What's your name?" And the woman goes, "Yolanda." In the meantime, there's a woman going, "Ah!" And she goes, "Yolanda." And then Carmen Electra goes, "Yolanda! Yolanda! Yolanda! Are you ready for a show?" And that's it. That's Carmen Electra's best part of the movie.
Yeah, that's her most hype moment as a DJ at a strip club, is saying the woman's name back a couple of times and then going back to doing her thing.
Yeah, turning away from her. Yolanda! Yolanda! Anyway, coming up next, we have Socrates, or whatever that guy's name was. There's no male stripper named Socrates. That's not a bad name, though.
Yeah, the thinker.
Exactly, yeah. He says Socrates, you know?
I do know, and I could imagine it even.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here's a different one. He says, "I put the T's in Socrates." I don't know if that's better or worse. It's kind of like it's kind of a wash.
It's worse, but it's also better. It's one of those.
Yeah, it is. It's worse, but it's also better.
You some kind of piss watcher?
Are we going to list off all our favorite lines from this movie? Because I got some good ones.
Well, I mean, how did this story start off? Like any story, a man down on his luck, needing some money for his mother and his brother.
And by a man, you mean a boy played by a 36-year-old man who is like playing a 20-year-old college student, even though he's got like wrinkly old eyes and a wrinkly old butt cleavage. But he needs some money. They're like one payment away from having their power shut off. So what are you going to do?
Something is wrong with this man's voice during this film. It's never the same. It's too deep at some points. It's too loud at some points. His pronunciation is just totally off. I don't understand what's going on with this guy's voice.
I don't know. I don't think I even really noticed what you're talking about. Now, really? I wasn't listening.
He
was like, paying attention.
It sounded like he had gumballs in his mouth sometimes.
Well, that's after he gets beat up. And yeah, he's got gumballs in his mouth. They beat him up with a bunch of gumballs in his mouth.
Well, they should have called him Gumballs then, if that was the stripper name. I mean, it's right there.
Did I ever tell you about the time I fell asleep on a bus in Japan and I woke up with Swedish berries in my mouth and I wasn't eating Swedish berries?
Is that real?
Yeah, that's the whole story, though. But yes, that is a true story that happened to me.
That's frick, man. I think you got to call somebody.
No, it was like
the president of Japan.
It was a delicious way to wake up.
That's fun, though. I mean, you get to tell that on your deathbed, probably to a bunch of little Mexican kids around you.
Sure. Well, a bunch of little Japanese, a bunch of little ninjas. Japaninas, I think, believe what they're called.
Japaninas. That's gotta get cut. Oh yeah, he's in Coach Carter.
Oh, that's, I've never seen Coach Carter. I don't know. Is that Samuel Jackson? No, what do I know?
Record scratch. What?
I feel like you just walked into the room at a club. Me, the Haitian man.
Oh, the Haitian man.
The Haitian man. That wasn't
the problem
anything
with this movie.
That wasn't
is
anything.
90% stripping.
The problem with this movie is that it's 90% stripping. Yes, yeah, it is. It's mostly just male entertaining, but it's like, it's fine. It's kind of just gets boring after a while, though. It's just too much of it.
I disagree. This is what I wanted out of Magic Mike, was a veil of a story about a man down on his luck, has to go to strip school, and then becomes the best stripper in the world.
Has to go to French class and then go to strip school.
He gets propositioned in the toilet. The spawn, obviously.
Michael Jai White.
Watches men go into the toilet and has like an x-ray machine to see if they're built and well hung.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to the toilet and ask a man if he wants to strip. Although he asks him if he wants a job.
Well, and the man rightly calls him out and goes, what are you, a piss watcher or something? And Michael J. White goes, you know what? I like your honesty. You're hired.
That's all it takes. In the stripper industry? Hell yeah.
You just gotta watch some dudes piss, and now you got a job.
What I really appreciated about this movie is all the religion, all the church that goes into this movie.
I feel like I was watching a Madea movie at times. There was so much church. Just long sermons that don't go anywhere or about anything. Just a pastor talking for 5, sometimes 7 minutes. So much pastor.
Pastor.
Oh, yeah.
He talks. That first church scene is like 4 or 5 minutes.
That's what
It's a long chunk.
And it's about nothing. It's just D. Ray Davis falling asleep in church for 5 minutes.
Well, it's a bunch of church platitudes, like you reap what you sow, blah, 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 right. Give me the money.
Yeah, standing 69, wash my feet, I'll wash yours.
I still don't believe that you washed anybody's feet.
That's crazy, I did. You can hook me up to a lie detector test. I would never lie in the house of God like that. I washed a man's feet, or maybe a woman's feet. I washed people's feet, for sure.
I don't trust machines, first of all. Second of all...
Smart.
Give me the proof in... visual form. I need a video.
Well, you know what, man? Why would you... I can't give you a video. You don't trust machines. And rightfully so. You did your own research, and you've come to the conclusion that you don't trust machines. And so now, if I showed you a video, you'd go, well, I don't believe this. This video has been doctored. It's faked. This is fake news. This is baloney.
Yeah, this video is a machine.
Yeah, this video has a first name. It's H-O-M-E-R.
It's M-A-C-H-I-N-E.
Hey, it's May I Take My Clothes Off.
It is May I Take My Clothes Off. Have you been having a good May so far? Has anybody asked you to take your clothes off?
Oh, well, if I had a dime for every time someone told me to take my clothes, asked me to take my clothes off, I would have, much like J.T. York, I'd have a stack of dimes.
That's a good stripper name, Stack of Dimes.
I guess. I don't know if people would pay to see a stripper named Stack of Dimes. It certainly doesn't evoke a very... Coming up next, get your change ready, ladies. Are you ready to get wet? It's time for Stack of Dimes.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, and then they play Pennies from Heaven by Louis Prima. And you go, well, I guess this is my stripper song.
How does that song go?
It goes, every time it rains, pennies from heaven, jibby-dooby. That's a real song. That's a real song.
I know that song. That song's like in all Disney movies during the 90s.
Well, he is the guy who played King Louie in Jungle Book.
Shooby-dooby.
Shooby-dooby. There's a part where he goes like, I can't remember exactly the lyrics, but it's like, it's times it rains and rains, sunshine and ravioli, macaroni. They just yell.
I love that song.
It's a really good one.
I don't know what movie it is in. It sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire or something.
I don't think it's in any of those movies. I think it's just a great song.
What's it called?
It's called Pennies from Heaven by Louis Prima. And it sound. Here's the thing. Louis Prima, it was a hell of a singer back in the day, and he did the song Wanna Be Like You, because he played King Louis in The Jungle Book. They made the character essentially for Louis Prima, and he, like, so it's a lot of his music sounds like I Want to Be Like You. And I mean, that song's a banger too. Because it's got a part where he sings and then, like, a saxophone or like a horn responds. Then he sings and a horn responds. There's that kind of call and response in both songs. And it's just great songs all around.
I love it. I love that we can bring some history to the listener and give them something to listen to throughout their week while they're taking their clothes off in May.
Exactly. Check out the song Nothing's Too Good for My Baby by Louis Prima. It's also a great song. It's not as good as Pennies from Heaven. That's his, like, opus, but it's good, too.
Yeah, it's good, too.
Yeah. It's got a lot of hungaloo-to-sungaly in it and just nonsense words. It's great.
I already love it.
I already love it. And, jeez, I don't know. I'm looking through my notes and, like, I just have notes that just read, Bolo's dick is throbbing through his pants. God damn.
Leather pants.
Is that a good
note?
A
lot of leather in this movie.
Yes. A lot of... That one guy has like... Oh, it might be Bolo, who's got the leather bell bottoms. That's a pretty good look.
That's a great look. I cherish the thought of me having those pants.
I don't have many notes for this movie, but one of my notes is Bolo is so fucking sexy. Holy fuck.
You know who should have been the pastor?
Who?
Bolo.
Oh. How could you even concentrate? I'd be on my knees praying every church.
Well, how could Vivica A. Fox concentrate? Especially when they're one-on-one, when Vivica A. Fox is trying to find out what's going on with her son and get some advice from the pastor. And pastor is just, like, staring at her breasts the whole time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If I walked into church and I saw that Bolo was the pastor, I would go, everything's going to be great now.
The main character, at the end of his first night stripping, is driving home with his brother.
Yep.
And they're, like, flinging cash everywhere. And it's that moment where the character is thinking everything's going to be great now, and nobody ever says it. But he has the balls to say, everything's going to be great now.
Everything's going to be great now.
It should be in every movie.
Yeah, for real. It should be. Yeah, absolutely. Like when Hagrid comes to pick up Harry Potter, Harry Potter should turn to the Dursleys and go, everything's going to be great now, and then gets on the motorcycle and rides off.
Yeah.
Now you go.
Hashtag it isn't going to be great now because Voldemort.
Oh,
yeah, I said
how
it.
How dare you? You.
It's coming.
Yeah, oh my God.
Who knew that this was going to be the episode where we mentioned Voldemort?
I just love the idea of someone like sinisterly going, Voldemort. Yeah, I said it. He's coming. All right, man.
Coming to get your kid.
Is that your kid? Voldemort's coming to get him. All right, man, calm
down. Sir.
Peter Pettigrew, calm down. That's Harry Potter, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But Voldemort doesn't give a darn. He's going to come at you whether you say his name or not.
If you don't say his name, he's still coming for your kid.
Yeah. I out.
Was that your Voldemort impression? I out.
Yeah. I out.
I mean, yeah, the main character quitting the strip club and then going, I out. I out. And then, like, the subtitle saying, I out. Not, yeah. Didn't, like, I guess, don't cut. I guess that's perfect. That's how it's written in the script. And we have to follow the script exactly as it's written. So, I out.
I out.
Hey, we didn't even mention that Genuine is in this movie.
He does a little stripping. He does a little acting. He can do it all. And he's the guy who did Pony.
Yes, he's a guy who did Pony, and if you're wondering, does he dance to Pony? Yeah, you bet your ass he dances to Pony. Like, immediately, he comes out the first time you see Genuine, he's dancing to Pony, and it's great.
Do you think this movie was born out of Genuine's ass because he wanted to get some more money for Pony?
Maybe.
Because, like, he probably didn't get enough nut out of Magic Mike or Magic Mike XXL, which hadn't come out yet.
Yeah. I mean, can we just derail the show for a second to just... Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me is a great movie, but arguably the best joke in the Austin Powers franchise is when Dr. Evil and Scott Evil are on the Jerry Springer Show and Dr. Evil keeps yelling, you're born out of your mother's asshole. That's the best joke in the whole franchise, baby.
Yeah, I guess that is where that's from. And that's like a PG movie.
Well, they censor it because it's on Jerry Springer. I'll censor it on this show, too, so you get the full experience. Yeah. But, yeah. You're born out of your mother's asshole is such a funny thing to say. It's such a funny insult to
your
to
kid.
To a child.
Hey, that's what's crazy to me.
Isn't his mother Frau Farbissina? Isn't that?
Oh, yeah. It's Frau for sure.
He didn't know that at the time, though. He hadn't traveled back in time yet to bang Frau.
What a mind fudge. A mind fudge that movie is.
Didn't even know. Like, somewhere Frau's watching going, hey, come on. He wasn't born out of his mother's asshole. I'm his mother's asshole.
Got a vagina. Came right out of it.
Hey, he came right out of my vagina, Dr. Evil. Please.
Could have been surgery. I mean, she is... the heiress to evil fortune.
Very true. Yeah. She also was born out of her mother's asshole. I don't know if anybody knows that, but it's just a part of it's the Frau Bissina heritage.
Well, that's where the mole came from.
Oh, that's not a mole, baby.
Yeah, you could say that.
Oh, sorry, did I say that's the best joke? The best joke in the Austin Powers franchise is, I want to chop it up and make guacamole out of it, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, the mole chunk is solid.
Oh, yeah.
It revitalized What's-His-Face's career.
Mike Myers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do I make you horny, baby? Do I?
You know, that hasn't been said in any of these stripping movies.
Yeah.
We only have a couple weeks left. I hope the line comes up.
Why hasn't anyone done an... I mean, we mentioned this last week, but why hasn't anyone done a Dr. I was to say Mr. Powers, an Austin Powers strip performance? That seems like a no-brainer. He's a very sexual man. You could do a very sexual performance.
Wait, this has come up before?
Well, I think we meant... last week you asked why no one's ever stripped to the Austin Powers theme song.
Oh, yeah, because it's very sexual.
Soul Bossa Nova, yeah, of course. Quincy Jones classic.
Well, the problem is you'd probably have to show the audience and their heads exploding and that sort of thing. And you just don't have the budget in Magic Mike or Chocolate City.
Certainly not. No, not to CGI in all those Machine Gun Jublies. That's my favorite rapper.
Machine Gun Jublies?
Yeah, Machine Gun Jublies. I think he's dating Megan Fox.
We're really into the pop culture this episode, eh?
You know what? There's not a lot to talk about in Chocolate City. Man strips. He lies to everyone about it. Then they find out, and he goes, I won't strip anymore. And then at the end, his brother goes, hey, this lady wants to pay you $100,000 to fly to Japan. And he goes, boing, I guess I'm back stripping again. And then roll credits, end of movie.
This movie does go at like a breakneck pace right at the end. We checked how much time it was left in the movie.
Yeah.
We all thought around 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it literally ended like 30 seconds.
You clicked the time, and then he went, you want to get this $100,000? Freeze frame on the lead guy's face before the time could even like disappear off the screen again. It was already over.
Credits. Done.
It was beautiful. It was amazing.
And then during the credits, they showed crappy stripping. Like, they show this guy trying to bend this woman around, but not well. And definitely was a reason why they didn't put it in the movie. The credit stripping was weird.
Well, also, he doesn't just stimulate. He doesn't simulate cunnilingus on her. He is literally performing cunnilingus on her jeans. And they go like, we can't do that. Seems like inappropriate. Even in a strip club, that seems inappropriate.
And you better believe those jeans were skin tight. I mean, I guess you would call it dry cunnilingus.
I guess you would call it dry cunnilingus.
When's the last time you dry humped?
Oh, geez, probably like half a lifetime ago.
I want to bring it back in my life. I've been trying to get my wife to do it.
Why would you waste your time with it? It's such a waste of time.
Yeah, but it's what's
for dinner
out of reach that excites me.
So just edge. Just be like you two and edge.
I edge all the time, bro.
Oh yeah, all right, cool. Very cool. Wow. Look at this guy over here. That's bragging about edging.
I'm almost 40. You got to start edging at a certain point.
Oh, well, this is
to
40.
To get your testosterone up.
Well, this is 40. Say it once, I'll say it twice. I'll say it three times. This is 40.
Yeah, this is 40.
I also have this note. Now, that's some ass rubbing. Can you
tell
me?
Well, there's that scene where they go ass to ass. And they start rubbing up against each other, and the women just go wild.
Oh yeah, they're trying to fit their butt cheek in the crack. They're trying to squeeze it into the crease of the other guy's butt crack, and it's like watching I don't know, like two cats wrestle in a bag or something.
Or something. We got cats on the brain. My cat was being very cute throughout this film.
Oh, your cat was being... Zed was being very cute throughout the film.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something this movie has on Magic Mike. They say the N-word like four or five times in this movie.
Yeah, but they say it like way more in Magic Mike.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They show restraint in Chocolate City compared to Magic Mike, where it's just thrown around constantly by Kevin Nash
constantly.
Mostly. He calls Andy McDowell it in the second one. I couldn't believe it.
A lot of times.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Amanda Heard and like everybody.
Amber Heard, please. We stan Amber Heard. I almost called her Amanda Heard. God, now you're infecting my brain.
What am I saying?
You're saying Amanda Heard.
What's her name?
Anders Heard.
Same. I don't think I'm saying it wrong.
Well, I certainly don't think you're saying it right. So, and the law will side with me on this one.
Everything's going to be great now.
From the minute we finished recording the first episode of this podcast, I turned to my wife and I said, "Everything's going to be great now." And I wasn't wrong.
What was the moment in your life where you realized everything's going to be great now?
Oh, I just told you. We yelled cut at the end of my bar mitzvah, at the end of whatever the hell movie we watched, Facing the Giants. And I said, "Everything's going to be great now." Because we end every episode by saying cut. You don't hear that because I cut it out, ironically. But yeah, before we shut the, cut it out, you know, Uncle Joey.
That's how we should end the podcast, I think. Although, keep fit and have fun is probably the best way.
Well, I love you. I love you. We love you. Keep fit and have fun. Adam, do you got any more notes? Do you got anything else to say about Chocolate City?
I did like how Vivica A. Fox was like immediately okay with the stripping at the end. Like, she thinks he's dealing drugs and being nefarious, and then she tells him that he loves stripping so much it aches, and she's like, "Oh, cool. Do you?"
That's cool. Do you? Tell me what else aches. The sons have a very sexual relationship with their mother, played by Vivica A. Fox. It's a lot of like caressing and like coming up behind her and kissing her, like, the back of her shoulder and stuff like that. And it's like, that's like romantic touch. That's romantic intent.
Yeah, and they keep saying wet willy and like licking their finger, but they go right for the butt.
Yeah, their hand disappears off the bottom of the screen.
Yeah. Wet willy, mom.
Oh, got you, mom. Wet willy. Goosed you.
It is weird when he gets beat up. It's the crux of the film.
I guess.
It's where it starts going downhill for him. He gets beat up, put in the hospital, and she goes up to him, and they caress each other ever so gently, ever so sexually.
Yeah, and then he sharks her. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Wet Willy.
Wet Willy then pulls her top down, yells, "Shark your mom." Classic kid stuff.
Yeah, classic kid stuff. You grow up in a rough life, you gotta make your own fun.
Exactly, yeah. And who are you gonna have fun with if not your ma, if you're living in Hotlanta? Well, I guess it's not specified they're living in Hotlanta, but they are in Georgia somewhere, so I gotta assume it's Hotlanta.
Well, that's where the stripping, you know, the center of stripping in Atlanta, Georgia is.
They're not in Macon.
I keep looking at my notes, and the first thing I always read is "everything's going to be great now," because I have it in two different spots.
Nice. Because that's all your notes. You just took two notes. They both say "everything's going to be great now."
Everything's going to be great now. I don't know why I like little lines like that that have like so much exposition in them. It hurts. Like it says way too much. Like you're supposed to feel that as a watcher of the film, but they just like explicitly say it. It's very funny.
Yeah. He screams it while throwing money in the air in a car.
Everything's going to be great now.
Well, he screams it while holding $14 in ones in his hands. Everything's going to be great now. I can get a burger. All right.
Well, he couldn't get a burger before.
And he worked at a burger joint. Did you think it was weird that when his boss gave him his check at the burger joint, he said, "Squeeze it"? That was kind of weird.
What does that mean? Does that mean that, like, if you squeeze it, it'll grow?
Well, hey, now you're talking stripper language.
He also doesn't come back in the film at all. The weird boss is so prolific during a couple of these scenes and then just goes away.
He's in the movie so much. What are you talking about? He's in the movie so many times. And like, what do you expect? Did you want him to come to the strip club? How much more do you want to see of this burger boss?
I wanted the main character to drive his new Mercedes into the restaurant owner's car and say, I could pay for both of these.
I want him
and
to
then walk away.
I want him to crash right into the building Medea style and then go, "Everything's going to be great now.
Whoa,
I crashed into this burger joint." Hey, here's another line I liked. When Dee Dee, the ratchet girl, said, "I didn't wear panties to class, and I know he saw all of this," referring to her teacher because she's trying to get, you know, she's trying to get better grades in her class.
Did I pass out during that? Did you guys, like, did my wife and you pinch both sides of my neck? Like, I go out because I missed that completely.
Yeah, we pinched your carotid artery.
Yeah, you guys pinched my legs.
Yeah, we did. And then you missed Didi going, I didn't wear panties to class. And I sat in the front row, and I know he saw all of this, which, like, gross, Didi. I'd pass. I don't think so. No thanks.
I went to the washroom a lot during this film. Did that ever, like, spark anything in your mind? Like, ever question anything?
No. Should it have?
Maybe.
Oh, well.
It's a very erotic film.
You left me alone with your wife several times. You didn't seem too concerned about that.
I heard a lot of hooting and hollering while I was in the washroom, so...
Yeah, that was mostly
I just figured you guys were having a good time.
Yeah, she was doing a lot of hooting like an owl. She was perched on the back of the couch like an owl hooting.
Hoot.
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 Hoot. Hoot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, you know, she's an owl.
Also, the strip joint owner pays the medical bills for the stripper.
Yeah, yeah.
Chocolate.
Sexy
and that
chocolate.
Never comes up again.
Well, why would it? Open it shut. It's done. He paid the bills. It's good to go.
Yeah, but when somebody pays the medical bills, there's always a comeback.
Not in this universe. Michael Jai White is a good man in this universe. He's not Dallas. He's not trying to screw people over. He's trying to just put on a good show and everybody makes money. He only takes $50 from each dancer. You know, that's like absurd.
That's nothing.
I thought he was going to say 50%, and then he just goes $50, and I go, what? This guy made like $5,000 tonight. You're just going to take $50 from that? What a cool guy you are. He probably gets door. He probably gets bar. Right? Like, he's making bank in other ways. He doesn't need that stripper money.
Yeah, but he was everything Dallas wasn't. Like, Dallas is totally skimming, like, 70% from all those strippers.
Oh, yeah.
And taking the door and taking the bar and moving to China to strip with the kids.
Exactly, yeah. I read an interview. No, that's not true. I read an IMDb trivia that said that, like... The guy who played the kid was like, I've been in talks with Steven Soderbergh. I want to make a whole spinoff about the kid. And, like, maybe he becomes, like, a real estate mogul. And he, like, goes on to have this incredible life and blah, 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 blah. And all I could think was, like, nobody wants that. Like, clearly Steven Soderbergh is not interested in that. Nobody wants to see a spinoff about the kid. You were definitely fired from the second movie because Channing Tatum didn't like you. And this is a movie about Channing Tatum's life. So... stay in your lane, kid. Your career is over. You star in crap movies now. It's done for you. You just enjoy what you had. You blew it, capiche?
Well, when you're watching a film,
of course,
and you're seeing these people on stage, you got to separate the actor from the person. The person they're portraying isn't necessarily him. For the kid, it sounds like he's totally the kid in real life.
Yeah,
trying to get angles and be a real douche.
Oh, yeah, and he's a real douche.
A real douche.
Well, I don't have any more notes about Chocolate City because I didn't take a lot of notes because most of this movie is just stripping. Oh, I mean, I have this note. The movie exists in a universe where Magic Mike is a movie in the universe. So it's not in the same... They're not a shared universe, unfortunately. I was really hoping that Chocolate City was a spinoff of Magic Mike because they mentioned Magic Mike a bunch. And then near the end, D-Ray Davis goes like... this is real life, and Magic Mike is a movie. And I went, oh, crap. Well, that's too bad. I was really hoping they knew Donald Glover or something like that.
Well, they are really separating Magic Mike and putting that in fantasy and grounding themselves in reality because they're the realness. What did you think of this film overall? How do you compare it to Magic Mike? Where does this stand on your echelon of male stripping movies?
Man, it's tough because, like, Magic Mike and Magic Mike XXL have an infinitely better cast. Like, Magic Mike XXL is untouchable for its cast. It's so good. And Magic Mike XXL I enjoyed a lot more than Chocolate City. But Chocolate City I enjoyed in a lot of ways more than Magic Mike. You know, there's a lot more stripping in Chocolate City. There's a lot more dancing. There's a lot more performance in Chocolate City. There's a lot more Vivica A. Fox in Chocolate City. And, I don't know. It's tough to say. May I Take My Clothes Off has been a real up and down of a month. there's been some dizzying highs like XXL and some, like, creamy middles like Magic Mike and Chocolate City. So I'm curious as to what next week is going to bring.
It's definitely been like an Oreo. Hard on the outside, creamy on the inside, in all sorts of ways. It's been a whirlwind. We've been up, we've been down, we've had long, long days. And the male body is just so beautiful. How do we even talk about these episodes? Like, we're so filled with erm that we shouldn't be able to even speak.
It's hard to talk when your tongue is on the floor. Now, Steve, what did you think of Chocolate City?
It's definitely tough to talk with your tongue on the floor. That should be the tagline of May I Take My Clothes Off.
Hey, not a bad tagline. I'm down for that. I can funk with that.
I like Chocolate City more in almost every single way compared to Magic Mike. I thought the stripping was grounded in reality.
This guy. A guy does like five backflips on stage. What are you talking about?
And he did it. That wasn't CGI. Those were strings.
Channing Tatum did a flip off the stage in Magic Mike.
I have to say the one thing that does that Magic Mike does do better is the dancing. The purity of the dancing, you can't really touch Channing Tatum. And Twist?
Twista? Twista's not in any of these movies.
What's the mirror scene? What is Channing Tatum's
Twitch.
Mirror? Twitch, yes. That dancing isn't found in this movie. This is more about butt cleavage and abs.
Yeah.
But I like that it was just stripping and all filmed in Inglewood High School. I love
set in Atlanta.
That the main character's girlfriend kept changing. I loved
your wife insisted
that
she did
movie.
All right, you loved it. You already love it. Well, I can't wait to see what you think of next week's episode.
I also feel like my wife parroted your thoughts of this movie as well.
Your wife and I are like very in sync when it comes to male stripper movies. It's a good thing that she isn't on this show, because it would just be two people going, I agree, just over and over again. There would be no dynamic, right? It would just be two people nodding their heads at each other. So I'm glad that you're here, but it was a real treat watching this movie with you and your lovely wife.
Thank you very much. It was lovely to have you over. We had a splendid time, a meal like no other, and an experience like none other.
And so until next week, I love you.
I love you.
We love you.
Keep fit and have fun.
Keep fit and have fun. That's also a thing we say now.
The P, the U, the R, the E,
the
B, the O, the Y, the S, it's parable.
The C, the H, the O,
it's
the parable. C.
Yeah, I got two throats. Itty.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's parable.
Diddy did, huh? What a weird thing to spell.
Say what?